Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For those of you who are not regular worshipers here, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and that is that I preach extemporaneously. So I have no notes up here. And I have to tell you, preaching this way on Easter morning is really difficult. Not because you're all here, but because I had to get up for the sunrise service. And some of you are at that service, and I did not preach at that service this year. So hopefully, I will stay awake and keep you engaged, and I will not ramble. But how could I go off topic? Did you really listen to John as he read this morning's lesson from Luke? Think about it. I'm going to say this over and over again, and you'll hear it in the hymns, and you should hear it out in the world today. Jesus Christ is risen. No joke. Now, some of you may think, oh, well, the Bible's not reliable. It must be some sort of conspiracy theory. Really? I don't imagine a couple of first century Jews sitting around in their local equivalent of a tavern coming up with some scam they could pull on the wider population. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That is not a rumor. It is not a fairy tale. It is the most important event in human history. Why? Does anybody here feel the presence of Jesus in their life? Okay, there are a couple of hands up. That's good. My hope, and I'm not going to impute any benefit to hearing me preach, is at the end of the service, more of you would raise your hands. I'm not going to quiz you on this. But Jesus Christ is a living, real presence. He's not some internet meme. And one of my favorite abuses of Photoshop involves a picture of Loch Ness Monster swimming in the lake with its head's over the water. And there's also Sasquatch on the border. And just to put a cherry on top, a flying saucer. They didn't have the internet back in the first century. Nobody was making up memes of stuff. This really happened. Now, skepticism is not unwarranted. Think about the apostles. They didn't believe it at first. And it tells us something important that Luke has the women report this event. In the first century, women were not seen as reliable sources of testimony. And yet, Luke had them share the news. And Peter was no different than his colleagues. He at first didn't believe them. But something stirred inside him. Something impelled him to go investigate for himself. And I just imagine Peter hustling down the road to look in the empty tomb. And all he found there were some of the burial garments. Peter remembered the prophecy that Jesus had offered. He told them this was going to happen. Think about how Mary must have felt on Good Friday. Any parent here, and my hope is any person here, can empathize with the loss she must have felt. No one wants to see a child, particularly a grown child, die in such a fashion. Nobody wants to see anybody die in that fashion. But Mary was open to good news. Think about that. Now, you could say it was wishful thinking on her part. Oh, well, something must have good have happened. But what about Peter? He, too, must have been crushed by the events of Good Friday. And something spoke to him. Something deep inside. Something told him that Jesus had risen. That was big news. That was, to use a tired church cliche, good news. And it's the good news that each of us needs to hear. Now, if I wanted to take this service in a strange direction, I would conduct a poll now of why you're here. Why did you come to church today? Now, I know some of you are regulars. Some of you are not as regular. I'm going to suspect some of you came here because your faith spoke to you. Others because you like the traditions of Easter. What drew you to this worship service this morning? I suspect you may not have noticed it, but something was stirred inside you. And one of the things I was warned of when I took preaching in divinity school was that the dangers of Protestant ministers is they always like to give you assignments of things you need to do. This isn't an assignment from me. This is an assignment from Jesus. When you leave this place, you need to share the good news. Now, I'm not going to ask you to go out and put on sandwich boards. I have never found that to be very effective. And I remember there was a gentleman who used to wear a sandwich board who stood a couple of blocks away from Fenway Park before baseball games. And I was going to a ball game with my pastor at the time, and this man was passing out brochures, and people were just passing by him. And Jim took a brochure from him. And I asked him about that, and he said, professional courtesy. It was the decent thing to do. Now, I am not going to ask you again to wear a sandwich board. If you did, I would take the brochure from you, professional courtesy. Instead, I am going to ask you to tell people about your experience at church, either here today or somewhere else on another day. And I'm going to ask you to think about the services we provide to the community. I talked about the coffee hour before. It's really impressive. That was done by people who want to foster fellowship in the community. In a week, we'll host a community dinner. And that serves people in our community who are in need of a good hot meal. Unfortunately, I have nothing clever to say about that. But when you see the people gathered for that meal, our dinner guests, and also the volunteers in the kitchen, you can see the church at work. We're not here to wag our fingers at you and tell you that you are doing something wrong. There are more than enough people out there who will do that. Some of you may want to do that to me. And that is your, I don't know why I said privilege, your right. But I would ask you to do it with some love and some mercy. This story is really remarkable. Think about the origin stories of Christianity. If they were making this up, would they have the central character be a convicted criminal? Would they say God came down to earth and was then killed by a bunch of venal bureaucrats and corrupt religious authorities? Do you really find this story to be credible? The fact that it is so out there is part of what speaks to its truth and reliability. Nobody would have cooked this up. Nobody would have tried to gull in the vulnerable and the weak. And yes, people have abused the trusting over the years. But Jesus was not out to build a movement. Jesus was not out to build a church. Jesus was out to share the love of God. Sounds simple, right? You're looking at me like I just told you something about nuclear physics. The love of God. Now, you don't see much of that in our world. But how hard would it be to share that love with others? I can hear the children downstairs, and that's good. There's some energy and enthusiasm. And I can think of some church traditions that are a bit more rollicking than ours. Personally, that doesn't do it for me, but I say God bless them. If people bring joy and fervor into worship, have at it. So we have here in Luke God deciding to have the resurrection take place off stage. Notice how Luke tells us nothing about the mechanics of the resurrection, and you won't find it in Matthew or Mark or John either. Why? If you're going to make a movie of it today, that would be the central scene. Because it doesn't matter. The mechanics of the resurrection do not matter. What matters is that Jesus was risen, that God's love stayed with us. Think about that. And in a few weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost, and we'll talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit to the wider church. That is Jesus in action, alive and resurrected. So it's spring, and I could talk to you about resurrection of the body and the spirit. It's a lovely day today. I originally, based on weather forecasts, planned to talk about how yesterday we seemed to have spring, and today fall seemed to show up because the temperature was supposed to drop so much. But it was pleasant out this morning. A little bit windy, but nice. But where are we going to go with that? Which is to say, just as the seasons are reliable, and we can count on them, repeating themselves over and over again, we can count on Jesus Christ. Think about that. Jesus rose from the dead for you and for me. Think about that. God cares about each and every one of us. God does not care about our politics. God does not care how we dress. God doesn't care what language we speak. God doesn't care what community we come from. God loves each and every one of us. God even loves those people down the street that we don't like to talk to. God loves that person who parked in the spot you wanted to get at the store yesterday. God loves you. So I'll say once again, Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.